Inflation soared again in March. Consumer prices rose 8.5% compared to this time last year. The cost of everything from food to rent and gasoline is climbing faster than at any time in more than 40 years, and that is putting a real strain on American families. Joining us now to help us understand the impact is NPR Chief Economics Correspondent Scott Horsley. Hi, Scott.
Hi, good to be with you.
Good to have you. We haven't seen inflation like this since 1981. What are you seeing in the numbers from today's report on the Consumer Price Index?
Annual inflation is very high at 8.5%. That's up from 7.9% for the 12 months ending in February. It's not really surprising. We knew this was going to be an ugly report. Anybody who's bought gasoline in the last month saw that big spike in prices following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. AAA notes that gas prices hit an all-time record, not adjusted for inflation, of $4.33 a gallon just over a month ago. Now, since that time, the price of gas has fallen to about $4.10 a gallon on average across the country, although that's still pretty high by historical standards.
So what exactly is driving this inflation? You mentioned fuel prices. We know that Russia's invasion of Ukraine pushed fuel prices up, but is that the full picture?
No, although it is an interesting part of it. I mean, gasoline prices accounted for more than half the overall jump in prices between February and March. And the war in Ukraine has also affected food costs. Both Ukraine and Russia are big wheat producers, for example. Last month, the price of flour was up. But the war has really just added an exclamation point to what was already very high inflation in the U.S., and we're seeing price hikes in lots of different categories. Now, there was some good news in today's report. The price of used cars, which had been kind of a poster child for pandemic-related supply shortages, actually came down pretty sharply in March. The price of used cars dropped 3.8% last month. But that was more than offset by price increases elsewhere throughout the economy.
So put these numbers into context for us, Scott. If the 8.5% inflation rate holds through the year, how much more money is the average family spending?
The good news is inflation is not going to stay at 8.5% all year. March was likely the high watermark for annual inflation. But the bad news is, even if inflation settles down, as we expect it will, the price of a lot of things may remain stubbornly high. Grocery prices, for example, are up 10% from a year ago. Restaurant meals are up about 8%. Gasoline prices are up a whopping 48%. Just to give you an idea, for every extra dollar on a gallon of gasoline, the average person spends an extra $400 a year. Rent is also going up, and while the percentage increase in rent has not been that large, rent is such a big part of the average family's budget, even a modest jump can be pretty costly.
And often, Scott, low-income families are hit the hardest by continuing inflation. What kinds of decisions are they forced to make right now?
Yeah, this is something that Lael Brainard, one of the governors on the Federal Reserve Board, highlighted in a speech last week. She noted that low-income families spend more of their money on necessities like food and gasoline and the electric bill, things you really can't go without. And so when those prices climb sharply, as they have in the last year, it really hits low-income families harder. Poor families also have fewer opportunities to take advantage of discounts and bulk purchases. They might not be able to shop around as much if a trip to the discount warehouse involves a long drive burning pricey gasoline. So while we talk about the headline number for inflation being, say, 8.5%, there's really kind of a different inflation rate depending on what your personal family budget might be.
So at what point, Scott, could prolonged inflation like this start dragging the economy into recession?
Well, the Federal Reserve is going to try to avoid that by tamping down demand. The last month, the Fed began raising interest rates. They want to bring supply and demand into a better balance. If that works, it's called a soft landing. Inflation would gently glide back to something around 2%, and everybody would be really happy. The alternative, of course, is a hard landing, which tips the economy into recession. Now, the Wall Street Journal surveyed a bunch of forecasters, and more than 6 in 10 expressed confidence that the Fed can thread this needle and land the plane gently. But there is a lot of turbulence right now, and those same forecasters did say the risk of recession has been climbing.
Well, the White House did something a little bit unusual yesterday and announced preemptively that they expected prices to be elevated as sort of a brace yourself warning. About 30 seconds, Scott, what does that tell you about the politics of inflation?
Yeah, inflation is really tough for the White House. Voters get frustrated when they see prices climbing rapidly like this, and it can be a real liability at the polls. When the White House knows there's going to be a bad report like this, and again, there was no big surprise in today's numbers, the administration often tries to get out in front of it. The war in Ukraine has actually given the White House something they can point to as an explanation for some of that spike in gas prices. They've been calling this Putin's price hike, and that's true as far as it goes. Of course, the problem with inflation is broader and deeper and longer lasting than just the spike in pump prices we saw following Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
That's NPR chief economics correspondent Scott Horsley. Thanks so much, Scott.
You're welcome.